Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
What's happening in Washington and how it affects you? Melissa in the Morning. Welcome Congressman Jim Himes to WICC 600.
Good morning, Congressman Himes. I know you were in D.C. earlier this week, or you're still there now, for the signing of the infrastructure bill into law. Now, I feel like you and I talked about this in length for months and months. It felt like on end. And finally, it is into law. What are your initial thoughts of this? I know this was bipartisan support, but how do you feel after it's all been said and done? How do you feel about the law?
Yeah. Thanks for asking, Melissa. I feel very good about it. This is probably the most impactful thing in terms of making our communities better that I've worked on in a very long time. And what I mean by that is you know, everybody listening right now, some of whom are sitting in really ugly traffic, but everybody, in our area has experienced the cost in terms of time and risk of an infrastructure that is, you know, 50, 60, in some cases, almost 100 years old. And we're talking about our rail bridges, right? Mm-hmm. And so this bill that was signed into law yesterday by the president is going to make available resources at a level that we haven't seen since the 1950s when Eisenhower built the highway system. And what that's going to mean, it's going to mean a lot of stuff, and we can get into whichever one you want. It's going to mean an acceleration of the plain old boring stuff of rebuilding those crumbling bridges that are all over Connecticut. It's a huge investment in our trains and our rail. So, you know, unless you live near a train station in Connecticut, you know, you can get to Bridgeport easily or Stamford or Norwalk. It's actually kind of hard to use the train to get to wherever you might work. Folks that live up in Ridgefield and Weston and Wilton and along the Danbury line, you know, it's just so antiquated that it's really hard to use. We now have the money to turn that into a 21st century commuting corridor. So, like I said, you know, from the safety of our small towns, because you'll be able to rebuild sidewalks and make towns more pedestrian and bike friendly, to Amtrak being, instead of being sort of a 20th century or 19th century service, it's going to have a real positive effect on the lives of my constituents.
Now, this is a very hefty law. It's a lot of money. I'm going to put it simply. It's a lot of money. And my first question is, Congressman Himes, unless I misheard you, we have not made this kind of investment in infrastructure since, you said, the 1950s?
That's right. Yeah. When Eisenhower built the interstate highway system in the 1950s, this is the biggest investment in our infrastructure since then.
So why would you say, because we've had both Republican and Democratic leadership in the White House before, why would you say it's taken this long to have something like this pass? Because now we got a lot of problems that have built up. I mean, you just mentioned just the ones in Connecticut, let alone across the country.
Yeah, it's a great question. I guess I would point to the fact that I've been representing people for a long time, so I know the story that is true in a democracy, which is by and large people want really good stuff: a powerful military, 21st century train systems, but they don't want taxes, and you know that's a natural thing. But remember the fight that we had over tolls in the state of Connecticut. Now, I'm happy to say that Ned Lamont said yesterday, our governor said that we would that this investment of federal resources will mean the tolls discussion is off the table for the moment. The point is, you remember that fight. Nobody wants to pay tolls. The other way we've always funded infrastructure in this country is through the gas tax, right? Well, especially when gasoline is expensive, people are very resistant to raising that gas tax. So this one-time infusion means we get to do that stuff without raising the gas tax, without tolls. It's big. It's big. But, you know, big problems require big solutions. And as I say, you know, right now we're being listened to by people who are staring at the taillights of the car in front of them on the Merritt Parkway or 95. So people really understand how big a problem this is. And, you can't solve huge problems with with little tiny solutions.
Sure. I don't disagree with you, Congressman Himes. Absolutely. I mean, look, I am one of those frustrated people that it doesn't matter what time of the day you're on the Mirror Parkway, you're mad. I do get that. I get Metro North. I get everything that we've talked about. I think the thing that is sort of the elephant in the room, though, is, you know, we just started rolling out these millions, billions of dollars in federal aid after COVID. And then it's like a year later, a $1.2 trillion package is rolling out. And I guess the question that everyone basically has is like, so where's that money coming from? Maybe we're not paying for it in taxes right now, but does that mean when my kids are paying for their houses, they're going to be paid? Like, how, where does this come out in the wash, essentially? Do we owe this to another country? Like, where does this money come from?
Yeah, well, in this case, and, you know, we'll have a chance to talk about whether the Build Back Better plan passes. It's being talked about right now. In this case, most of it appears to be paid for. You know, there's a variety of different revenue mechanisms in the bill that means that it doesn't look like all of it, but most of it will be paid for. And I'm proud of that, too, right? You know, back in 2017, when the Trump administration passed the largest tax cut for very, very wealthy people and corporations ever, that was $2 trillion in spending, bigger than what we're talking about today, over a 10-year period that was not paid for. Now, I'm not saying that any of that stuff is good, but the point is we're making a real effort to pay for it so that we don't saddle our kids with additional debt, because the debt is meaningful these days, and it does matter. So, you know, we're making a real effort here to pay for it through a variety of different mechanisms, not the gas tax. The president took that one off the table because the president has promised not to raise taxes on families making less than $400,000 a year. Look, the point is that we really have no choice. You know, if you go to any other industrialized country today, go to Singapore, go to Japan, go to Korea, go to Germany, you feel like you've stepped off onto an alien planet because you've got these incredibly efficient, you know, subways and trains that get you from the airport to the downtown area in 12 minutes, you know, and quite apart from quality of life. If we're competing with those countries, and we are, and we have, you know, 19th century and 1950 style infrastructure, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. And we can't have that. You know, the United States has always led economically on stuff. And one of the reasons for that is that until this last generation, we've always taken good care of our infrastructure. And of course, yesterday's signing and the resources that are available are going to bring us up to par with all those other countries that we compete with.
And we are back chatting with Congressman Jim Himes. Congressman Himes, you had said just before the break that, you know, we are competing with other countries. I'm just curious because I'm not familiar with how governments are run in other countries. You know, have they been doing a better job of investing in their infrastructure? Are they in debt as well? I'm just curious how they've been able to stay ahead of the curve and America hasn't, essentially.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure I know the answer of why that's true. I mean, one answer, the countries I just named, Germany, Japan, you know, those countries that we think of as competing with us, remember they started from zero in 1945, right? You know, Germany, Japan, to some extent, Korea. Much of Europe was destroyed by World War II. So, you know, they didn't have a lot of leftover, 100-year-old infrastructure. You know, I live in Kostov, right? And the rail bridge, which goes over the Mayanus River at Kostov, which, by the way, is just down the way from the 95 highway bridge that fell down, killing a bunch of Americans 20-plus years ago. You know, that was built almost 100 years ago, and that's not unusual in the state of Connecticut. You see all these bridges. You know, obviously a lot of countries where they had their infrastructure destroyed in World War II, they didn't have that option. So, again, we are playing a little bit of catch up against those countries, and this bill is going to take us. You know, right now the World Economic Forum estimates that globally we're number 13. You know how we like to shout we're number one? Well, folks, on our infrastructure, we're number 13. Not quite as catchy, is it? Mm-hmm. But because of this investment, we'll be right up there with the leaders in quality of infrastructure around the world, and that means we're gonna be better positioned to compete economically with them. Remember, it's not just us sitting in traffic, right? It's if you talk to business leaders anywhere in Stanford and Norwalk and anywhere, they'll tell you that they are less competitive because of our crumbling infrastructure. And again, this this bill is going to help fix that.
And I'm just curious, Congressman Himes, because I did hear on a local news channel, Governor Lamont yesterday from D.C. said point blank, tolls are off the table in Connecticut, which, you know, for some people, they feel like, great, we don't want tolls. But then there are others who say, yeah, but when we go into New York and New Jersey, they still are going to, you know, make us pay for tolls. Why aren't we doing this? And that's a whole other argument. But I did read a report. I don't remember where, so I apologize. But something about with the deal, I guess the new bridge coming to Connecticut would have tolls, according to the plan from President Biden. Now, I'm not sure how factual that is or not, or if you have any consensus on this. I mean, with new bridges, if they were to come to Connecticut, would they get tolls even if our highways don't have them? Is that still a possibility?
I'm not sure what your which bridge or
I think
what,
I was reading about the Hartford Bridge. It might have been the Hartford Bridge I was reading about.
I don't think so, Melissa. But I should probably not answer your question because I don't really know. I mean, I do remember. You're absolutely right to point out that every state around us has tolls. You know, Rhode Island tolls trucks, not cars, but every state around us has tolls. And I think I do remember a time when, you know, some bridges had tolls on them, even though the highways did not. But I'm not sure what the answer to your question is. But, yeah, I heard Governor Lamont yesterday, too, as tolls being off the table. Now, look, that's going to be an ongoing conversation for the reason that we're talking about right now. You know, if you're from New York and New Jersey and you're on your way to Boston, you shoot right through the state of Connecticut and don't contribute a penny to the roads that you use. We pay for that. Of course, when we go through New Jersey or New York, they make us pay. So, you know, I'm sure this is a conversation that will be revived in the future. But for the at least it seems for the governor for Governor Lamont's administration, that's a discussion that's off the table.
And then Congressman Himes, last question before I let you go. Any idea when any of these projects would even get to work, essentially?
Yeah, well, the way that works, so two things to say about that. You know, the Connecticut Department of Transportation, which oversees the bridges and the highways and all of this stuff, you know, they've got a list of projects. The availability of this money is going to allow them to accelerate that list. Now, I should point out, you know, because everybody experiences this, you know, when we rebuild an interchange on 95, there is a period of time, of course, when they've got to restrict lanes and do this and that. I mean, it's not all fun and joy, right? Because, you know, rebuilding this overused infrastructure does lead to inconveniences. But the point is they're going to be able to do that much faster than they otherwise would have. So we're going to see the benefits a lot faster than we would have. And then a lot of the money in this bill is also competitive, meaning that the towns and the cities out there, if they've got an intersection where pedestrians are being hit because you've got sort of a problem, they'll be able to apply for competitive grants. Competitive means that you're not guaranteed to get the money, but if you've got a good project, you can compete. And so it's going to be on both the state of Connecticut and on our towns and cities to say, hey, I understand this bill, and there may be funds in this bill to finally do this, you know, bike path we've been talking about, or increase the size of the parking lot at our train station. It's going to be on towns and cities to some extent to look at that stuff.
Congressman Himes, we appreciate you again being flexible and coming on earlier in the week than your typical day. Thank you so much. And we'll talk again after the Thanksgiving holiday. I hope you enjoy your family.
Thank you, Melissa. You too. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help. Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
All right. Good morning, Julius. This is a tough topic because so many times we think of the most wonderful time of the year and we think it is the most wonderful time of the year. And for many people, that is the case. But in fact, when you start to get closer to Thanksgiving and the December holidays, for many, it could be actually the most depressing time of the year. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, Melissa, thanks for having me on again. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, there's hope. Even when your brain tells you there isn't. That's a statement by John Green. The thing that is more exhausting than being depressed is pretending you're not depressed.
A
lot of people try to cover it. And it's okay to feel depressed. But it's the issue of when do you know that my depression really should take me toward getting some professional help, talking with your doctor about it or seeing a counselor or therapist. And that's the issue for many people because it is exhausting trying to hide the pain sometimes. And some people don't even realize they're depressed. And they don't even realize what it's like to feel healthy, mentally healthy. Mm. And they just accept the fact that this is the way I am. In fact, Boston University did a study recently, and they were saying that 1 out of 3 are depressed, wrestle with depression.
And, one, you know, out of three Americans?
One out of three, yeah, out of Boston University. Yeah, it's the idea that we try to cover things, and we try to just smile and say everything's okay, and really inside we're dying. And and that's not a helpful way to live. You don't deserve to live that way. So there's hope out there. And my whole message this morning is to say there's hope, even though your brain maybe keep on telling you, hey, there's no hope. You know, this is just the way it is, that kind of thing. But if you're wrestling, you know, with difficulty concentrating, fatigue, lack of energy, insomnia, irritability, loss of interest in hobbies, overeating or loss of appetite, persistent aches or pains, sad or anxious, empty feelings on a persistent basis. You know, those are all signs that you could be wrestling with depression. And Melissa, the key is to understand, like with every diagnosis, there's a spectrum. And you could be majorly depressed, or you could be on that spectrum somewheres. And the thing is to sit back and just slow yourself down and ask yourself, you know, how am I feeling?
Yeah.
And get in touch with your inner voice. And if you're not feeling, if you feel all those symptoms I've mentioned, there's help out there. And you don't have to go through life by yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting, Julius, is when you mentioned earlier that some people don't even realize they're depressed. I can remember growing up and two of my siblings, you know, would say, I feel like I am depressed. And I remember thinking, we were teens or we were in our young 20s. And I thought, you guys don't even know what depression is. There's no way you're going through depression. And looking back on it now as an adult, I realize it was just the worst thing I could have said, because I think when you hear depression, you think, oh, that's a mental health illness. That's, you know, there's such a stigma, like I have depression, when in actuality, it's probably more common than less common in a person. And when someone says it, you know, I think we oftentimes, most of us will say, oh, you're not depressed. You're just going through a hard time. Oh, you're not depressed. You're just in a funk. Oh, you're not depressed. You just hate your job. You know, like we always want to deny that someone could be depressed, or we ourselves could be depressed. Why is that?
Because we want to present the best image of ourselves. We don't like being vulnerable. We want to just kind of trick people into thinking, oh, I'm fine, I'm fine. And we don't like to admit when we're weak. Mm-hmm. And the ironic thing is, when we admit we're weak, then we're strong. When we we wrestle with depression, it's okay, because it's a normal feeling. But when it begins to affect your sleep, when it begins to affect your irritability, when it begins to affect your eating, when it begins to affect so many other aspects of your life, and if you're just not happy, nobody's happy all the time.
Right.
But if this is a persistent kind of a thing, there's help out there. People are trained, specialize in treating depression. You can get, you can contact, look on the internet. There's so many positive places out there that deal with depression. There's an organization called Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services.
Mm-hmm.
You can look on that online and grab some help.
Now, Julius Dudix is here, our morning show counselor. What if you have seasonal depression? And what I mean by that is, you know, as I mentioned, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, the December holidays, and this is a time for some where, yes, it's joyous, but for others, it's a reminder of the people who are not here, or a horrible breakup you went through, a divorce you went through, the loss of a child, whatever it may be. And you've kind of solidified after so much time, like, hey, this is to be expected. You know, when Thanksgiving's here, I'm going to be sad about it. When, you know, we've almost justified it in our minds because we go through seasons of depression. Would you say it's not healthy, I would think, to just accept the fact that you have seasons of depression? Like, that also should be addressed. It's not just continuous depression, but if you expect to be depressed during a certain time period, you should probably go get help.
Absolutely, Melissa. That's a great, great observation. And psychologists call that it's the self-fulfilling prophecy, where you're coming up on a holiday and the internal dialogue is, oh, I'm going to be depressed again. I'm going to be alone. Every holiday is like this. And you keep on telling yourself so many negative negative statements. You live according to what you tell yourself. And if you can train your brain to understand, hey, Thanksgiving can be a wonderful time of giving thanks for your life, for your health, for your family, for your home. There are so many in our world that don't have what we have. And I'd love to talk about gratitude and the power of gratitude next week. But you've got to really begin by acknowledging the fact that hey, I am depressed. I'm having these unhappy moments, and they're beginning to overwhelm me. Mm-hmm. Once you acknowledge it, then you can begin to address it. And how you address it is you go to your inner circle. Go to your friends. If you don't have a friend, contact a counselor or therapist or somebody who could help you, a parent or a relative, and just begin to be honest, because truth always sets you free. And ultimately, Melissa, the bottom line is we're not alone, because God is always with us. He loves us, and he wants to help us through our difficult days as well as our joyful days. And sometimes depression drives us to our knees and causes us to look up and say, God, help. So it's a very normal, it's normal to feel depressed. It's what we do with the feelings that really matters in life, in terms of whether or not we're going to have a joyous holiday season or a negative holiday season. So there's help out there.
Yeah. And Julius, if somebody wants your help with this, how do they contact you?
They can make an appointment at 203-243-7714. Or you could read about me on LinkedIn or the BARK, B-A-R-K website, or Facebook. And I don't go on those and respond normally. I don't look at that a lot. My wife does, but you can just call the office, 203-243-7714.
Julius, always a pleasure. Thank you for tackling this morning. We appreciate it.
Melissa, thanks for all you do. You keep at it.
All right, we'll talk again next week. We are going to head into Shelton this morning, where Mayor Mark Loretti is standing by. Good morning, Mayor Loretti. Thanks for being here.
Good morning to you as well.
So, Mayor Loretti, I would love to get an update on Fountain Square. I read an article, I think, earlier this month that there's a potential doggy daycare that could be going in there. We know Panera's moving. There's a lot of moving parts there. So I just wanted to see if we could get an update on what's happening.
Well, as I said before, that project was in high gear until the pandemic hit. People were reluctant to go forward with leases, knowing that they couldn't open or how long they'd be open to. So I think it was more of a financial decision. But it is back in motion now. They're up there working every day. I know that Chick-fil-A is going to be a major staple in that that development. So I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. As you mentioned, Panera Bread is moving over there. They're just across the street. And there's a couple of other restaurants, I think, that are coming in as well. But I'm not totally sure of all the occupants at this point.
No worries. I know that's kind of an ongoing process. I'm curious, Mayor Loretti, I know you mentioned Chick-fil-A. So recently, I'm sure you heard, Chick-fil-A was initially, there were huge plans to hopefully bring it to Fairfield, and that just got shot down. The P&Z Commission basically unanimously said no, it was going to bring a lot of traffic concerns. Are you getting any rumblings about that, only because Chick-fil-A has had a history of causing a lot of traffic headaches?
You know, every community is different. You know, Bridgeport Avenue is the only time we get criticism on Bridgeport Avenue with traffic is during an election season. So now, you know, we'll be able to get back to normal. But the plaza is big enough, I think, where they're going to be able to stack somewhere around 47 to 50 cars right on site. So, you know, if cars do spill over into Bridgeport Avenue, which is a state road, then we're going to have to go back to the drawing board about how they fix that.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's something that, you know, at least at this point, it doesn't seem like at the forefront there are any issues that are popping up so far with Chick-fil-A.
Well, again, it's my understanding, you know, with 47 cars being able to stack on property, it's pretty self-contained. I mean, if it goes beyond that, then, you know, the place would be a tremendous success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very fair. We're talking to Mayor Mark Loretti out of Shelton this morning. Mayor Loretti, last week I heard from Governor Lamont that they're doing a program where high schoolers across the state of Connecticut will be able to basically debate and put forward what they think they should do with up to $20,000 of federal relief funds. And I wasn't sure if Shelton's high school was getting involved with this initiative. It seems pretty cool.
You know, I really hadn't heard anything with respect to that. There's so much money being pumped into the economy from government right now. I imagine that they're really scrambling to try to find things to justify spending all of it. I do agree, however, with the money that they want to spend on the infrastructure. I think that is so vital and important, not only to American safety, but to an economic prosperity in terms of transportation and people being able to move from one location to another expeditiously.
What do you? That was going to be actually my next question. As far as the infrastructure law is concerned, we do know that $5 billion is coming to Connecticut. What are you hoping, if anything, goes to Shelton? Like, what are you focused on for Shelton residents?
Well, we're trying to effectuate the extension of Constitution Boulevard, which we have been talking about for the last 35 years, but now hopefully it's going to come to fruition. I have had very in-depth discussions, not only with the governor, but David Layman, the Commissioner of Economic Development with the state. They're aware of the project. We got listed to go on the bond commission for about $5 million for the construction of that road. And we are out to bid right now, and I'm hopeful that it's going to get on the bond agenda soon, and the governor will approve it.
I also heard yesterday, I think it was on News 12, the governor was on with News 12 and said that he definitely is taking tolls off the table. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, tolls are just another form of taxes. And I know that all states around us have tolls. And when we go to New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts, you know, that we're subjected to that. I think in some respects we have to be different. We have to be Connecticut. We have to be creative, and we have to pay closer attention to how we spend our money. I think in the next coming years that hopefully the legislature will get that.
It's easy to give
things away. It's easy to spend money. It's not so easy to pay for it.
Yeah, it's very true. I think a lot of people probably feel the same way. Mayor Mark Loretti is here out of Shelton. And Mayor Loretti, this is actually the first time you've been on since being reelected. You know, in the last year and a half, the focus for every, I feel like, municipal and state leader and even national leader, I'll throw that in there, has been on COVID. And now that COVID is getting under control and we at least have a better sense of how to move forward with it and live with it, what do you think will be some of the biggest things that you want to focus on for Shelton? I know you've been at this for quite some time, but in this next, in your next reelection term, what do you want to focus on now for Shelton? What's your next goal?
Well, it's really it's a continuation of what we've been doing for the last 20, 25 years. More progress in the downtown. You know, some people want to call that overdevelopment. Okay, the only time we hear that is during an election season. But, you know, nonetheless, in the last 30 years, Shelton has changed dramatically. We used to be an old industrial blue-collar city, and not much different than most places in New England in this country, but we've been able to transform ourselves, and we're going to continue to do that. You know, Bridgeport Avenue is going to continue to grow. Companies are going to continue to come here, as is being witnessed as we speak. You know, more and more companies are transferring from, unfortunately, places in Connecticut like Fairfield County, Bridgeport. We are getting some action out of Westchester, and listen, this is the formula for success. This is the part of the key component to keeping taxes low and stable is growth. Mm-hmm. And you know, some people want to say that we're overdeveloped, but okay, but we never had that discussion any other time other than an election season. And so, I've always told people that change is inevitable. Life is a constant change. And if rather than complain about it, become part of it.
I like that.
That's what I've tried to do over these years. Be part of it.
Well, Mayor Mark Loretti, we are so glad that you're a part of this show every other week. And we thank you so much for checking in this morning. We'll talk in a couple of weeks. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, thanks. Same to you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.